Welcome, Circle of Life coaches. This mentor call is about putting on a Circle of Life retreat. And I'll be asking some people in the group here for their questions. So first of all, just referring to the attachment that I sent, you can be looking at that. Also, it's in your training manual for those who you've been trained in 2008. And it's also on that web page that you have a link to so that you can look at the PDF and also follow along with the audio, the MP3 file. So let's begin because you've all at some point read that and listened to that audio, so I won't be repeating that information. So we'll just go to some of the questions that we have here. And again, I will be answering with some of my ideas, but I open it up to the group for any suggestions. So let's start with Lisa Idlekind. And your question, Lisa?
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Yeah, I had a question as I go to this beautiful wooded area. It's a place called Hemlock Overlook where I live. It's a site that is a parkland that has beautiful grounds, and they have like these obstacle courses that apparently the park authority runs programs, but whenever I go, they have this lodge that is always absolutely empty, and every time I look at it, I think, gosh, this would be a wonderful setting for a retreat. So I was curious if you had any suggestions on if I were to lead, say, a women's retreat there, like an afternoon or a day-long retreat, if I needed to get permission on the grounds, and I didn't want to call them before speaking with you to get some suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, generally you do, you know, if it's a center that you, do they provide retreats now or provide programs or is it just?
They have programs, but not retreats that I know of, more like team building programs like that for organizations.
Yeah, and I think that's really just another, your organization. You know, your business is a business that's putting on a team building or a program in a coaching program. So you could just frame it that way. But we'll be doing some other kinds of things for wellness in that program. And I would just, you know, maybe frame it that way.
Okay.
I mean, if they see you dancing naked outside, they might, they might have a little, you know, red flag about that.
Sure.
But if you don't, including that in your program.
Uh-huh.
You're probably fine.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
It does, because I was guessing that even though I all the time go just informally without their official program, wanted to do a retreat to bring other people to the grounds, that I probably needed to get it approved ahead of time rather than just show up. And okay.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But just saying it's a program, you know, that you're doing a coaching program that has some wellness. So there'll be some movement and exercise, and people might be walking on the grounds, that type thing.
Okay, and just ask them straight out if they have a fee or just see if they'll tell me. Okay.
Yeah.
To rent out the facility. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, we all can find places for retreats. Sometimes we have a friend who has a lovely home, or we do, mm-hmm. or sometimes at a church or an organization may have a really nice room.
Okay.
Or sometimes you're holding your retreat. I've done corporate retreats, and I'm in a dark room with no windows. And I just try to create the space, as I said in my recording, with I bring a couple lamps along just so there's not fluorescent lighting. So there's some, you know, nicer lighting at certain points because lighting is really a big effect. And then, of course, having music and having some kind of fresh air or maybe a fan or something that's circulating the air, and just having some flowers or something, a plant, you know, something that has some life force to it, and then always comfortable, because that's the really big thing is people, when they're sitting in uncomfortable chairs, it's very hard to relax or to be comfortable, and so they're spending their whole time being uncomfortable. So, and each of these places has a cost. So when we're doing a retreat, we have to really put that in our budget for how what we're charging for our retreat according to all our costs, like renting, the venue, the place, the snacks. If you buy the participant guidebooks, you can also just use the worksheets or the forms without using the guidebooks, depending on who you're working with. So, I've done this programs in hospitals, and brought cloths to put over the CAT scan machine or whatever's in the room, and just put a pretty doily on it, put something covering up some of those things when I don't have the option to have beauty. But I always, even if I'm doing a program in a real kind of mainstream setting, we do try to find some place where we can go outside just for 5 minutes or something, just to find a tree or grass, or sometimes organizations will have a little sanctuary or place to go. So any more questions or anything about a venue or, a place to provide your retreat?
Not from me. That was very helpful. Thank you, Rebecca.
You're welcome. So let's go to Jean Stoll from Air Force, and she said, what was your question, Jean?
Well, hi, Rebecca. Getting Air Force personnel in my groups is tough, and then when I have them in there, they don't understand mind-body exercises. I take them through them, and then at the end of each one, I say, so, did you benefit from that? And they all say, not really. I think I'm looking for some more action-oriented things, physical things that they can do instead. They're not really, I don't want to say imaginative, but they don't really go inside their heads and think things through. They want to be active.
Uh-huh. Right. So I suggest the brain gym exercise, which is marching, basically.
Okay.
And you're, taking your right hand and you're touching your left knee, and you're bringing your left knee up, up towards your stomach. So you're kind of using your stomach muscles, you're using your leg muscles, you're breathing deeper, and you're crossing over.
Okay.
And there's lots of those demonstrations of those on YouTube.
Called,
oh, really? Brain gym or cross crawl. So
okay.
It's just basically going from the right hand to the left knee and the left hand to the right knee. And what that does, and you're marching, and you could put some energizing music on and have people do like 200 of those, really get them moving. And they're going to feel oxygen flow. They're going to feel their brain be integrated. It helps with stress. So also you could call, instead of calling them mind-body practices, you could just call them, stress resiliency practices or stress mastery practices or health-inducing or health enhancement practices. Sometimes we just have to language it different, too.
Right.
Because mind-body might be a little, beyond
it's a little
that,
too out there for my
population.
I think some of that is true. They just shut down when they hear it, which is unfortunate because they would benefit. But hard as I try, and I've tried other things, but I think that might work. So thank you.
Yeah, and again, the languaging, too, because if they hear something right away, they're going to be defensive about it. So when I in business, as I would say, stress management, this is ways to stress out. Also, they're oxygenating for the brain, so it helps you to think better and have more energy, or energizing practices for your brain and for your body, for physically, mentally, and emotionally, instead of mind-body.
That might work. I'll try it. Thanks.
All righty, Jean. Thank you. Let's talk to Yvonne. You had a question.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Actually, you answered some of my question with the first question that was asked. I'm considering doing retreats. We have lots of beautiful mountain areas, natural parks with cabins and lodges here in Arkansas. We really do have a very beautiful state. And so I wanted to do retreats in those type of settings. But I was wondering what type of things that I could bring to promote a relaxing, inspirational environment, some of which you mentioned in the first question, but any other ideas that I can do and things that I can bring or things that I can have available to kind of help just kind of set the environment for the circle of life. Process.
Do you Do you have, are these people that would be, are these women or men or both, or who are you working with?
The first group will probably be women.
Uh-huh.
And probably in the 30 to 40 age range.
Uh-huh. Well, I always encourage people when I do a women's group, always nourishment, some kind of food and tea, because women are just love to be in community where they're sharing food. And they can either maybe bring something, bring a snack, or that you can provide that, just have some kind of hot teas and or, you know, decaffeinated coffee or and a lot of, you know, good, healthful snacks. And also, you know, it's really nice if you can have a place that has a fireplace, which is always wonderful. And if it's women and you're allowed to, wherever you are, to have candles, and that they, especially if they do the intention ritual, they're lighting the candles, or you can at least have a couple candles lit, and you can just do that to kind of set the tone and just, I'm going to light this candle, and encircling us all with our intentions, and that we're in a place of safety and protection, and this can be a time for you to just be healing or bringing your life to a new level, and we're just going to light this candle as a initiating of that protection or of that light or bringing light to this circle or something like that. And candles are always, you know, they just, everybody understands a candle, lighting a candle. So that's another definitely something that puts a good energy in. And then, you know, I always use gongs or bowls or sound to, if you can borrow one, they're kind of expensive, or if you have one, or something called a tinksha. They're like kind of a little chime that's used. You can probably get them at a temple. People like the sound of a bowl or a chime or some kind of sound, because when we're trying to create environment, we want to engage all the senses. And I always encourage people to bring a blanket that's a blanket and a pillow, and so that they can put that in their chair and they can put the blanket on them, or they can, even if it's summer, just something lightweight. There's something about, I call it a somebody loves me blanket. That's what I have, a somebody loves me blanket. And it's just having that little, you know, it's like a teddy bear, having a little blankie and a pillow. And then when you do some of the inner processes where they have, it's really good if you can have a carpeted floor, or if they have a yoga mat or some little mat that they can bring. So anytime you get people physically comfortable, they have a pillow, it's kind of like childhood. You just can kind of curl up and feel like you're in a safe environment. And then, you know, just, you know, as you invite them in, it's you're the going to set the tone with your presence. And if you feel inviting and it's an unconditionally unjudgmental place, you can remind them that that's the process. That there's no judgment here. This is all about honoring the strengths and virtues that you do have, and we're going to take whatever you'd like to illuminate, take to a higher level. We're just going to be shining that light of awareness and bringing your life into a new, you know, a new illumination, a new light into the area that you'd like to bring forward. So if you're just setting the tone that, or like sometimes, you know, I'm very ritualistic, so I always have some kind of ritual are coming into the room to kind of leave behind their past or their struggles or their concerns or their judgments. And so I either burn sage, which, you know, again, this is like, you know, I don't do this for my corporate workshops, but when I'm doing a women's retreat, women are very tapped into ritual. They just go right into it. And I either have, like, sage or something, an incense or something that I use. Please, star six, anyone who's just come on. That we use some kind of a ritual, or I have some kind of little bowl of water where I just kind of say, if you'd like to just kind of wash your hands today, or a little, I always have essential oils, like sprays, like a rose spray and a lavender spray, that I have, it's just a little bit of aromatherapy, And then I say, would you like to have a little spray before you enter the room just to kind of clear off your energy or, you know, clean off the day or to just let go and so that you just have, and they, you know, women love fragrance. So I just use essential oils because people aren't generally allergic to that. Just drop that in a spray bottle of water. And so those are some things that I have them do. And then other things is sometimes when they've, you know, so either smudging or I do a bowl and I gong like a sound before they come in just to kind of clear, or the sprays, or something that kind of clears them off so they can enter the room with their blanket and pillow and just get comfortable and create that and have nice relaxing music to bring people in, and then having that candle, lighting that candle. So we're accessing all the senses because each person accesses their information or messages or how they kind of operate on in their body in different ways. Like I'm very auditory. So when there's music, that really works for me, or a bowl. Other people are really focused on what the smells are, and other people are real visual, and some people are real kinesthetic. And that's why in the Circle of Life process, we try to engage all those senses so that people can tap into their knowing and their guidance through that. So does that help?
Yes, ma'am, it does. Thank you very much for those suggestions. I'll try some of them and let you know how it works out.
Yeah, and is there anybody else that has any other ideas? And if you have any other ideas for any of these questions, please just email me and I will forward that to you. Okay, and so Lynn Gabriel. You had a question? Okay, is everybody still there? Star 6 is to unmute. And while we're waiting, let's just take a few deep breaths and do a little self-massage on your shoulders or your ears, or align your spine and put your head on top, or relax some part of you that might be holding tension. Well, Lynn will join us probably later, so when she comes, I will address her question. So let's go to Roxanne.
Hello.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, Rebecca. Hello.
Hi.
So you're asking me what my question was?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm doing well by going to events where there's a large group of women, and I offer raffles or donations, and I get core groups that way, and they keep going. But I'd like to branch out, seeing if people find success with flyers or if they still have to zone in on some targeted group that would spread their word, or what other options for trying to disseminate information, you know. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to have a retreat and I had everything, a good environment, how would I need to really go to some place already where it looks like people are looking for something like that?
Like what would that be?
Oh, say it was a yoga center where those people might want, you know, they go to yoga classes. And
yes,
if I put up a flyer saying I have a retreat, or I know there's a couple of different places that offer spiritual books and incense and things like that, if they would let me put a flyer. Are those the only type of places to put up flyers, or does anyone have any recommendations for the kind of places that are there other things besides flyers to reach people also?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I know of the internet and bigger things, but the community I'm in is a little smaller, so I'm looking for.
You're looking for your community, so you're talking about local.
Yes,
marketing.
Local advertising. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have a few suggestions. One is to get somehow in the media, like in a newspaper, write an article about self-care, or having some newsletter, some women's group, or, you know, a nonprofit, or something where you start getting known and seen. And self-care is really, you know, self-care practices, you're an expert in that. You've been doing that for 25 years, right, or longer.
Yes, okay.
So I think that that's a really great topic, and to, you know, write something for your local newspaper or something, and then have to, you know, come to retreats, coaching and self-care retreats, you know, to contact you. So media is really good where you're visual, because otherwise I find that flyers are, over all these years and all the coaches I've ever trained, not that effective. Occasionally they are.
Okay,
but,
so media, you're talking radio, newspaper, magazines. I actually have a women's football league that's going to ask me to do a little interview and start doing coaching for a brand new team. I thought, wow.
All right, football.
Isn't that a neat idea? She's going to.
That's great.
She's been helping me with my website, and I want to trade for something. She goes, okay, I'm starting a team, and we'll have people raffle for you. We'll advertise you on the web as a coach who does this. And I go, well, I can get into that. I like sports, and I want those girls to win, and I want them to win in their regular life. So I'm going at the marketing angle of life's a game. Let's win this. You need a team around you. That will be the coaching group, and on and on.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
But I like your idea of the media and the newsletter.
Yes,
I need
getting, just like you're doing with that, you're getting, you know, she's going to do some advertisement. I always see, you know, one of the best ways is some kind of partnering, some kind of partnership with somebody who gets what you do, or there's some mutual benefit, or you're offering a free program like at, you know, oh, some kind of women's group that you speak at, that you're visual. People are meeting you, seeing you, they're reading about you, so they feel like you're credible and that you really know what you're doing. And once people have experienced something they've read or been given something free, then they feel like, wow, this person's really generous, and I'd like to learn more.
Right, so, free. That's worked.
Yeah, just having something, you know, that you offer, like a what are those women's group called, like, you know, that are, and like Rotary Club, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, organizations that work with, you can help people, like, as a team, you know, for staff at a nonprofit, or, you know, people that are, you know, helping others, the caregivers or the staff. I know I've worked at a lot of staffs at nonprofits when I, and because they really need the help too. They're helping all these people with MS and heart disease, and they need it for themselves. And then I give maybe a free, you know, hour or something to the staff, and then we could have a whole workshop, half-day workshop on this, or we could, if you know clients that you feel like would be really good, I could start a group with your, you know, through your organization. You have to find, again, your niche, like where do you want to be working? And it sounds like you have a few different niches that you're interested in.
Right, and I've narrowed some down, and I have to say that's been an interesting process. Just when I think one niche is supposed to be mine, and I'll work with them several months and find that the work with the client isn't as rewarding. So I'm having fun with having the niche somehow find me also. Just not stopping. Keep going out there. Keep doing it.
Well, there's also the flow, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
sometimes we go somewhere and do something, and then we go, it's really over here.
Mm-hmm.
Or the flow was here, but the stream changed, you know, change and went down another angle, another fork. And so you don't ever have to be stuck in something if it's not really, you know, energizing you, or sometimes we think we want to do something and we later go, now that I've done that, that's, you know, I don't really enjoy that anymore, or it wasn't what I thought, or now that I see there's more energy, payment, money, whatever, that really serves me greater in another audience. But always the media is, you know, writing a little article on somebody's website, if they would mind promoting you, or, you know, through an email that you create that you can send out through, again, like something like this coaching group where you could send an email, you know, some little tips or introductory sessions. Those kinds of things are really much better than a flyer. A flyer is something you give after you've done those other things.
Right. Okay, well, that was really helpful. I know exactly what to do now with this email idea and a few more ideas. Thank you. That was great.
You're welcome. Anybody else on the marketing questions?
Rebecca, this is Jeannie Erickson.
Hi, Jeannie.
I do a column in a local newspaper every month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a family column, but I can do whatever subjects I want.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm sitting here thinking I need to write a column on self-care. You know, sometimes I write a column on health, or I write a column on how to take care of your kids, or how to keep your life balanced, or something like that. And it goes to about 40,000 people.
Wow.
So that's cool.
Cool.
I get some clients from that. And I'm doing it free,
uh-huh.
So I'm not getting paid for the column, but it's generating clients.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
And it's a paper. I live in a town of 400,000 in Wichita, Kansas, but it goes to the east side of town, to the upscale areas, which is what I want.
How did you get in there?
I started advertising $200 a month in that paper,
mm-hmm.
and I told her that I was interested in writing, and I started sending her my monthly newsletters free, and when she had an opening, she called me and said, I'd like for you to do this column.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And when you were advertising, just for feedback for other
mm-hmm.
coaches, when
mm-hmm.
you were advertising, were you getting responses from that for your $200 a month?
Some.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe I got maybe half a dozen clients over a year, but I'm charging $150 an hour or $125 an hour, and those clients would last for 6 or so months.
So it was worth it.
It was worth it, yeah.
And was your
advertising? Getting my name out there, too.
And did you just, what was your ad kind of saying, just that you did?
I had different ads each month, and the gal helped me design them. They were like maybe 3 inches by two column, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of it was, like one of them was a little engine going up a hill, and it says, I know you can do it. Or I know,
mm-hmm.
yes, you can. and one of them was some doors opening, and it said, you know, open your life with new ideas.
Oh, nice.
Just kind of just different ones for different seasons, you know, spring into action or whatever.
Yeah, I like all those pictures and metaphors because people respond so much to that,
mm-hmm.
much more than words, if they just get the feeling.
I think what the column is doing is establishing me as credible.
Yes. Yes.
I'm trying to, you know, yeah.
Yeah, how long have you been doing that column?
About a year.
Uh-huh. And that's, how long a column is it?
It's half a page.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So, you know, it's 500 to 700 words.
Uh-huh. Well, that's wonderful.
That's something that you all might try, is getting your foot in the door that way somehow.
Yeah, I think that's so great. And I know, like, for me, I'm not really a writer, but I end up doing a lot of writing. So I know sometimes you can just take things, anything that you've seen written from Roger's work on his site. There's a lot of free articles if you want to focus on the mind-body. And right now there's a tremendous amount of research. Roger's gotten some research done that's really powerful, and he's going to be speaking at the National Institutes of Health, and he's the keynote speaker for the National Institute of Health on mind-body practice. And so you can take anything from our website, any of our websites where there's articles or the Kind of Coach Tools page, and just use our words if you want to. Feel free to not recreate the wheel, right, and just draw from those that information, those articles. So you can look at his website, which is Feel the Chi. It's F-E-L-L. The Chi is Q-I.com. So thank you. So that's, you know, articles, and of course any of you who are getting into the web world, social networking and your Facebook and LinkedIn, and articles written, these are really great ways to get seen and established. So anybody else, any marketing ideas or questions?
Rebecca, I have a question.
Yes, and who's this?
This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
I swing from major metro area and then also living part-time in the country. And is there a formula, or how or what would you check to find what an appropriate price point would be?
Mm.
Every community is different.
I know. And that's always a question, as I probably have shared with all of you before, but I'll just repeat it. Just when, probably about 10 years ago, when we had an organization in Cleveland, Ohio, kind of joined with us, and they became their kind of own licensed Circle of Life group. So we did a market study about what people charge for things like mindfulness training, yoga classes, therapy, et cetera, to try to set fees. And I live in Santa Barbara. You know, this is Oprah's, Oprah, Ellen DeGeneres. I mean, a lot of famous people here. It's very, very expensive. So we were comparing, and it was such a great range. Their 8-week sessions for an hour and a half to 2-hour sessions were like $300 or $350, and mine were $600. For the same thing. So it really depends on where you are and then what you're framing your work to be. So people tend, you know, in the country or whatever, I mean, people tend to be more focused on real kind of essential things, like they've got diabetes and they need to get healthier. You know, they have to have something really, I mean, this is kind of a general statement because there's always unique people in every community. But when you have a smaller community, there's just less people. But most people that are going to pay for services are going to want something that they're really going to have a shift in their work, like get a job or get healthier because they really have a health crisis going on. They're motivated by, you know, something that they, you know, no longer can't pay attention to. Remember the whisper, the yell, the 2x4. So we have to find out where the person's motivated, and then you create the circle of life. You can also always call it health action coaching. When I do businesses, I don't call it circle of life because it's a little bit too, you know, Lion King-ish. So I call it health action coaching, which you can all call it, or whatever name of your coaching organization, whatever your name of your business is, and you can say later, we're going to use the Circle of Life process or system. So it really, again, depends on what you're, you know, if you can give me an example of the two populations that you're targeting right now.
Well, I still have a home in Chicago, and in the winter, I'm envisioning doing a couple groups here, but through the end of the summer and the fall, I want to focus in Southwest Michigan, which is pretty rural. The largest city would be probably Kalamazoo, South Haven, and I know as a postpartum doula, my rates here in Chicago are double what I get in Southwest Michigan. So I know people's income level is lower, what they're willing to spend on things like this are less. I was just wondering if there was a formula, like we would, like for doula rates, I looked to see what people were paying a nanny, and then I used that as a barometer.
What was Manny?
When I was looking to see what I would charge as a postpartum doula in the country, I checked what people were comfortable in paying a nanny, a childcare.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I gauged it with that as a barometer, and I was just wondering what things we could check in our area that would help us.
Yeah. Well, anybody have any ideas on that? I mean, there's consultants and there's, you know, healthcare practitioners. Are you a nurse?
I don't have that professional Mm-hmm. I don't have the letters.
Uh-huh. Right, you do it, but you don't have the letters.
Yeah, 25 years of group facilitation in another career, but not in the medical field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you're thinking of working with the Circle of Life, who is it that you're targeting in those rural areas? Like, what is it, the population, or what is kind of the subject or theme? Or
I thought that because I've been so immersed in both my 25 years in the sales organization and then stepping right into postpartum work, both those populations primarily were women and mothers.
Uh-huh.
And so I, just because I just know them inside and out, I was going to start with that as my niche.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's nobody else doing anything like that in your area.
And it's,
right?
It's also what I'm seeing is that it's such a great need because so much focus almost excessively with being pregnant and preparing for the baby and, you know, the birth, and then there's little support after birth, which has been what I've been doing now for 12 years as a postpartum doula. But many of the women come back to me at about 3 months or 4 months and just are kind of in limbo. You know, they finally have settled in with the demands and what life is like now with a new child, and yet they feel that there's something more. It's the beginning of kind of losing yourself, which many mothers do. So
is that the group you'd be working with?
Yes, that's what I thought. I would step out into that arena because I know it very well.
Well, I think that, you know, it always depends on what you think they're also going to afford. You might not have anything to compare it to, but it's determined by what you need to make it worth your while, and then what it costs you to do it. What are your costs if you have to rent a place or, you know, buy snacks, those kinds of things, the prep, the actual administering the process, and then what the market will bear. And a lot of times we just have to check it, you know, try something, and I always encourage people to maybe, because of our economy right now, is to, you know, have some kind of economy special or something and say the prices will go up, you know, in 6 months or 4 months, but this is my special. People love to get a sale, a special, and they need a deadline. I mean, I'm totally like that. I just buy things sometimes because, you know, I see that there's a deadline, and I may be wavering, but they think, well, I'm going to get it, you know, this process or this program is going to save $100, so I want to do it now. So I always encourage you, even if it's regular, to have sales or specials or, you know, economy special or something like that, and then just see the price that you feel comfortable charging to make it worth your while. I mean, what is, depending on how much of this work is your livelihood. And then doing something, I mean, it can be anything for like $10 a person to $100 a person, just, again, depending on, you know, where you're working and what you're doing. And it's often good, too, with is to make something shorter for kind of a pilot program, like just kind of market study and do a little research. And I know when I work with the YMCA, I trained about 20 instructors, and they said that people are really hesitant to commit to 8 weeks, even though really in coaching you need 8 to 12 weeks to really make significant, long-lasting change. But I also said, well, why don't you just get people in for a half-day retreat and just have them commit for a month, and then they can recommit for another month. And that way they got more people to sign up because they were willing to, it was less money and less time. And then once they got in the process, probably about half the people still wanted to continue and half the people discontinued. So are those any, does that help you at all, or do you have some more questions on that? Teresa?
Yes.
Do you have more questions about that?
No, I guess I just, I'm just trying to think, like, if you, would there be individuals in a community that you could call that you think might have an answer to what they thought?
I don't know, let's ask the group. Let's see if there's, I mean, I just looked at you know, what there wasn't anybody to call per se in my community. It's about 150,000, but I just looked at what people were advertising and what they were doing.
Okay.
They were charging. That's why we did that market study with like 50 different types of programs, and we came up with the average being about $25 an hour for a group process. This was like probably 7 years ago. And so it was like $50 to be in a group, and $25 for 1 hour or $25 for 1 hour and a half was kind of the average at that point. And that was, again, from Cleveland to Santa Barbara, we just did all different kinds of groups because there really wasn't a lot of coaching groups going on.
Okay.
Anybody else, if they have any ideas, please, again, send me an email if any ideas or if anyone does right off the bat have any ideas. Sometimes it's hard to get that information because it's not really happening in your community. There's not really that much of a comparable number. So, again, going back to what do I need to make, and then if I need to make $100 an hour, and then I could have, when I do things, I set kind of a fee that I need to make. So let's say if I'm doing a half-day retreat, you know, minimally for 4 hours, I'd want to make at least, you know, $600. So how many people could be 10 people at 60 or, you know, 8 people at, you know, 70, or I just break it down to kind of what I need to make.
Okay.
And then I break it down, and then I tell people, well, you know, if you get your friend, then it's $10, and otherwise it's, you know, it's going to be $20 or it's going to be $50. Or I have a minimum of how many people, knowing it's this, you know, minimum 6 people at $25 an hour, you know, something where I just figure out what it is, and then I help to market it. Because before, when I was doing much more community groups, I just would talk to people about it. Like, well, I'm going to put this group together, and I need 2 more people, or, you know, or an organization. I'd say, I will do this program for $1,500 for the day, and you can have 2 people there, or you can have 100, but this is my fee for putting on a wellness workshop when I do corporate businesses, nonprofits. I charge between $1,000 and $2,000 a day. And then, again, you can have as many or as little people as you want.
Okay.
Does that help at all?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and if anybody has any ideas, like, you know, who do you call? You know, like Ghostbusters, you know, it's like, who do you call? I don't know. I don't really know of anyone to call. Maybe you could go to the Chamber of Commerce and just be looking at other organizations that, or, you know, going to exercise physiologists or personal trainers, therapists, counselors, coaches, you know, coaches of music, all kinds of different kinds of coaches, and see what they're charging.
Hello?
Yes.
This is Roxanne.
Hi, Roxanne.
Just a quick thing I learned in one of the business classes I took. One of the things we had to do when it came to pricing and marketing is we had to research demographics, and every like Chamber of Commerce of an area will give you the breakdown of the average income. They will tell you exactly how many young families, how old the youngest, you know, a breakdown of the young children in an area. That way you know what market you're working with. Does that help?
That's perfect. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, I think it's like even all online.
Oh, so that's excellent.
It's called a breakdown of demographics?
It's the demographics, yeah. Usually the city or incorporated, the county, whatever. Even if you have to make some phone calls, I know that this sort of thing exists because I've seen it. I've had to go online as homework assignments. And it's odd that I usually compare prices to other counselors or what a family regularly would spend at a chiropractor. I just look for the general income because, yeah. I came from Santa Barbara where everything was 3 times as much as here, so.
And where are you now, Roxanne?
Sacramento, and I also am building a clientele in Modesto, which is really a more of a rural country area. I commute there every other week, and my prices there are different. But the interest is higher. I want to encourage you on that in the rural. It's very odd.
The what is higher? Oh, the interest.
The interest is much higher.
Oh, right.
And I'm dealing with professionals.
So little is offered.
Yeah. So professionals are using my surface rather than the general population up in the urban area.
Yeah, that's good too. That's really good feedback. Is there something you could send to me that has that kind of information so I could just pass that on to the coaches just for them to?
Oh, sure. I'll make a note and look for where I have that on the web.
That'd be great. Thank you. I will
okay.
pass that on and post that.
All right. Rebecca?
Yes.
I just want to add, this is Mary. I'm in a real small community. I mean, we only have like 6,000 in our immediate community, and very, very small town. And the only thing that I have known to base it off of is my background and kind of what I've seen in this area, which is more of the private studio Pilates and the private personal training. So I've had to kind of base it off that and then add on to snacks and, you know, that kind of thing per hour. But it has really changed the pricing in, you know, versus in a larger city for me.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you, Mary. Anyone else on that? Yes,
Rebecca, I have another question about pricing regarding retreats.
Mm-hmm.
If, say, like a chiropractor's office invites you to come in to do something on their site, would you advise a coach to, if they're asking you to be the one to lead a retreat at their particular office, do you have any suggestions on, do you offer them some of the profits? Like, how do you think the pricing should work in that case?
Do they provide the people to attend?
If they want maybe to offer your services at their location for their clients and at their site.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about the other coaches. I can only speak just from my experience, so hopefully some other coaches will chime in or we hear this recording and talk about that. I've done it many different ways where I worked when I did individual coaching for three doctors in our town. They would refer their patients, and then they would get a percentage, like, if they provided the patients and the place, and they would get a third. One time I did a program for a doctor who worked with women, and I did an 8-week group on perimenopausal and menopausal women. She put out the email. They were all her patients. She... and I gave her, I think it was a percentage of the total, and I think it was 25%. And I was using her reception room, and we could only allow for 8 women to be in there. Mm-hmm. So it was limited in the space, but I didn't have to rent the space, and she put it out to her patients.
Great.
Those are some ideas. Some people want 50-50 because they provide the people and the space.
Right.
And that's even good, too, because, you know, anytime you're getting people are getting exposed to you and having a good experience, that's the best, is then, you know, people share. That's the best networking. That's the best marketing, is when, you know, people talking about your work or experiencing it and telling others. Mm-hmm. So even if you did have to give half, it's such great advertisement. It's much more effective advertisement than an ad. In general.
Well, thank you. That sounds terrific, too.
Yeah. Does that answer your question about that? And anybody else have any experience with that or any thoughts on that?
It does. It's helpful even to hear that range. And I guess it also just depends on where you are at with things. And, if you're just newer and just wanting to get out there more, then maybe you would take the lower fee and share more. And depends how, I guess, busy you are as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then I had other physicians that I did some programs, and they just charged me like some, like, you know, $100 for the event, you know, whether it was, you know, a day or half day or just the use of their office. And they, you know, had their flyers about my program, and they just felt like it was an additional service. Like I always tell the doctors, you know, many years ago, I'm making you a holistic doctor. You know, by hiring me, I'm making you a holistic doctor. So all these people thought, oh, I love this doctor. He's so holistic. He doesn't know anything about holistic medicine. But right. I was bringing in the coaching, which is holistic. So this, I always encourage partnerships, because that's when, for those of us who aren't really clear on what kind of ads to make or who to talk to, or aren't really comfortable just talking to everyone about it, is to just have people that really want to have your program. And the more exposure, the more people you're going to get as private clients and for groups. And also, once you've said it, well, once I got one doctor, you know, he was, you know, once I got one doctor, then another doctor wanted me because he was in competition, and thought, well, God, he's doing it, so I want to do it. And so what happens is, once you get one lead in and some experience, that's part of your resume, and then it's much easier to get another lead. You go, well, this person had it, so what about this other chiropractic office? So I had my programs in 3 chiropractic offices, an acupuncturist, and 3 medical doctors. And, you know, that just, I did like 3 hours a day, 5 days a week at these different offices. And I got, once I got the first medical doctor, then I got the second that I thought might like it and talked to him. And then I got this woman to put on the perimenopausal training. So I really feel like that is, if you're going to be doing local marketing, that's really the way, or one of the ways.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else on marketing? Questions or comments?
Rebecca?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay? I'm in a headset.
You listen?
Okay. Yes.
Hi.
I had some really amazing suggestions from a couple of my staff today that they've been brainstorming coming up with a brochure. And instead of describing what the Circle of Life process is and trying to figure out a way to communicate that, they looked at some clip art. I had gone onto iStock Photo via clip art on the internet and picked some families. And in our program, we're focusing on parents. So I picked a lot of variety of like Asian and African American and just different cultures, and had the person and their child's picture. And what my staff did was they made an intention and a goal and an affirmation for each particular picture. And then what we're going to do on the brochure is show, like, you know, they picked this one gentleman and said he's working on getting a job, and they just put samples in there. And I thought that was such a great visual aid, because you can see it and people can then understand what it is versus us trying to explain what an intention is or what an affirmation is. So we're going to use that.
And if you could send it, I always ask everyone to send me everything. If you could send it when you have that, I would love
it. I sure will. In fact, we started with the flyer, because I know earlier you were talking about the flyer. We started with the flyer in each of our individual locations where we have a coach. We picked like a picture that was appropriate for that location. One's an Asian center, and one's more African American, and one's Hispanic. So, and when we went to the printer, he kind of laughed at me, and he's got the background in design, and he was just joking with me. He said, you know, from my perspective, it would be better to put it all on one brochure and just show the diversity. And when he was done, it made so much sense. And then we're just kind of still in the process of design. So when I get it, I will send it to you. But it was really helpful to take the social work staff and then bring it to somebody who does design, because he loves to revise nonprofit stuff, because he said, we come in with all kinds of words and everybody wants to tell everything. And he said, really, you just need a few key statements and a phone number and a picture, because you want to generate interest so that they call you, but don't tell them everything, you know.
That is so great. Thank you for that tip, because that will help us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
because I took this little teletraining. It just like was for 2 hours, and it was called Monetize Your Mission, and they charge like about $10,000 if you go to their program. But I did get some really hot tips, and I just want to share it with all of you. Is really what sells, just as you were saying, Elizabeth, that trigger, that thought, is what really sells, instead of explaining, like you said, the program or what's going to happen, to engage the person is 90% of what you want to do is talk about the transformation they're going to have. Because that's what they buy. They don't buy you, and they don't buy your services, how you're, we're going to map it out, dot, dot, dot. They want to buy the transformation. So just like TV ads, like where they just show, you know, people losing weight and fitting in smaller clothes and wearing their bikinis and all that, that's what people don't even care so much what it is, if it's an exercise thing or a pill or whatever. People want the transformation. And that most, you know, coaches or people in marketing, that's the big mistake, is that they talk a lot about, well, we're, coaching is like, well, we're going to do this and that, and we're going to write this down, and we're going to write down your intentions and goals, and we're going to have good changes in your life. And I know some of this is redundant for some of you who have been coaches for a while with me, but just when you're talking to somebody, just the whole idea of saying, if they ask you about the services, they go, well, what's a life coach and what do you do? And you say, you know, if you wouldn't mind, I'll tell you about that more, but first I have a question for you. It's like, if, is there anything you just want to change in your life that you just really wish was different right now? You know, do you like to, like, lose weight or have more money? Or you don't even have to say that if they come up with something. Otherwise, you can give them those ideas. But if they don't say lose weight because that's kind of insulting. Say, just would you like to, is there anything you'd really like to change? So then they say, well, yeah, I just, you know, right now I don't have a job, or I wish I'd make more money, or I just feel so, like, I don't feel good, and I have all this to do, and I want to lose weight, and I'm just stuck. Well, that's exactly what we do, is we, you know, I would be supporting you in really making, you know, getting those 10 pounds off, you know, specifically saying, using their words, is it like 10 pounds you want to lose, or is it, when you talk about healthier, what would you be doing if you were healthier? What do you mean by healthier? Going back into finding out what it is they want, what's meaningful to them, what's the transformation, that's what's going to sell your coaching. And through your coaching process, you will support them in that. If they stay in the process of coaching, they will make that change. Because if they step out of this coaching process, they probably won't. But if you can support them in the coaching process, they will change it. So just like Elizabeth was sharing, it's like a picture of somebody getting a job and having a goal or an affirmation underneath it. That is very powerful. And just like Jean was talking about her, as she was having, like, you know, a train, you know, I can, you know, and open windows, those kinds of things, especially pictures of people making transformation. And that's why you want to be having a niche, because otherwise you've got all these people making transformations, and it's a little bit confusing. People need to see, like, one or two things that you're really focused on, like a happy family, or, you know, happy mom with happy children, person's looking, you know, happy in their life, or whatever, something where they're getting a job or somebody's handing them a paycheck or something like that. And talking to the person about the transformation, and then only 10% about what, how you deliver it, instead of what most people do is talk about what it is and how they're going to deliver it. And that engages the mental part or the ego part, and that's the part who says, no, that's too much money, or it's too hard. But we want to engage the emotional, the soul, the heart, the passion by talking about, oh, what would you do if you were, you know, had, you know, were not dealing with diabetes so much, or you were, you know, your family was healthy, what would that look like? And have them engage in that. So that's just real key. And if you're making a brochure, flyer, or speaking in marketing. So I am going to shift. Thank you, Elizabeth. I look forward to seeing that. And any of you who have your brochures or flyers, we just keep refining them as we learn more. And I do want to address the last question. Is Lynn still available? Lynn Gabriel?
Yes, I am.
There we go.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Great. And your question, Lynn?
Well, this I guess when I came on, I didn't really realize that we were really focusing on retreats, but it will fit in any of the Circle of Life work. What I really would love to hear you talk about, Rebecca, is just the leadership in helping people move forward, the you know, how you facilitate that, and kind of almost the philosophy behind it, that you approach more than the practicality.
So, again, every person, you want to find out, kind of uncovering what they, first of all, what they really value and what they really need. So, like, for example, with my husband and I, he finally kind of understood, because I was really clear on stating what my need for, his need for is, you know, lots of expansion, and he really values expansion and being, you know, traveling and doing things in the world and, you know, being, doing his service in a big way. And I really appreciate that too, but I also value and need at this, juncture, this chapter, is I really need to be more quiet and more inward. And I really value right now order and peace. That's more real valuable in family. So people are in different seasons of their life, but we want to find out what is it that's really most important to them right now. I mean, sure, I'd like to lose 15 pounds, or I'd like to, you know, make more money, or blah, blah, blah. But really what my kind of essential need right now is to kind of have a deeper connection with inner peace. I really want to have a feeling of forgiveness right now for myself and for some people that I have not completely all the way let go of on some level. It's subtle. And so it's really helping the person to tune in to what they really value, because otherwise they're not going to really achieve anything, even if they say they're going to. Like, I couldn't really achieve a lot of outward work stuff, even though I do want that to continue. And I do, you know, want to continue my work. But also, right now, what's most important to me is this kind of sanctuary feeling. And so that's really important in coaching, is to find out what people's values are. What do you really value? What's most important to you? And maybe you could even list a few things, like, you know, family or creativity or excitement or adventure or working with challenges or you know, creating peace or cooking, or, you know, what is the thing that they just gives them the most energy and prioritization, rather than what they think they should be doing. And what happens, what I found, is when people start doing what's really essential, kind of at the core of their values or what's really important to them, other things start falling in place. But if they're trying to reach out and create something that they're not really, you know, there's just not this deep connection to, they won't really be manifesting it. So that's one point. The other is, what I'm working on and developing as a more advanced skills for coaches is helping people to work through the things that are keeping them from moving forward, you know, whether it's a belief system or it's a conditioning or it's a physical thing that's keeping them from moving forward, helping the person to find out what it is they want and what are the resources they need to move forward in their life, and what, you know, what is it that is it that they're really feeling, you know, like they're just feeling a lot of self-judgment, or are they feeling incapable, and helping people to realize that life is an ongoing process and that we always have to fulfill our basic needs, and also that it takes time to really give people the feeling of spaciousness and that there's really enough time and like there's no judgment and we're just on the journey, and to celebrate the inner process as well as the outer manifestation. Because I feel like in our culture, it's so focused on outer, like, you know, you look good or you're making money or you're producing things, or there's all these identities, and they're exhausting. They're exhausting people. And when people can start tuning into what's really in their heart and creating the space for them to do that, and that may be several weeks in a group or in a retreat, or, and I sent some metaphors for you earlier today that you can download, just some worksheets that I use with people. I find that when I have people do, it's kind of like the, like Deepak Chopra talks about the spaces between the thoughts, is when we get people to slow down enough, they start tuning into more subtleties, more mindfulness, and different things arise than what they first thought they were going to work on or focus on. And that it helps them to tune into their inner wisdom, into their inner guidance. So helping people, that's why I like the mind-body practices or some kind of ritual or some kind of movement or something that gets them out of their left brain, out of the box. Because I feel like so many people create goals from the box. It's like, I want to make this much money. And it's just so small. And if they start tapping into a feeling of what they would love to create, that's the other thing, too, is what would I really love? You know, love from the heart. It's got a lot of power. We're finding that the heart has more intelligence than the brain. And heart math and accessing the heart has this expansive, creative, unlimited connection to God, to Source. And when you get people tapped into it, there's more energy. So those are a couple principles. And then asking coaching questions that help to bring that forward. And again, I'm in the process of creating something right now that I feel like, you know, kind of a process to just to go deeper with people or to just have some other ways of reaching people. To help them to tune into themselves, and you're just reflecting back to them. I don't know if you were able to listen to the call with Maya.
I was not.
That's an MP3 file that's on the, you can access. I'll resend that to everybody, but that's more reflective statements and reflective listening. And if you're doing more reflective listening, you're talking less, and you're just reflecting back what I'm, you know, hearing you say, or you're just kind of giving a brief little summary. Oh, you know, so you want to make a change in your relationship. And so when people start hearing their own self being heard, reflected back, it starts opening up their own wisdom. So it'd be great if you could listen to that recording.
Do you have to have an MP3 to do it?
No, all you have to do is have your. All you have to do is you press the link, and it's on your internet. It's just free.
Great. Well, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and was there something that you had as a question?
No, I just love to hear you talk about. To me, it's the core of why we all do this work, to enable people to grow and develop, and I love listening to you talk about it. It's very inspirational. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, all of you are very inspirational, so I wish you were all in one little room and just be like, you know, you have your minds blown, man. Wow. So as we're uncovering, we start, you know, sometimes we start with people on their goals and intentions, and then, you know, that's why it's nice if we can have more time with people and also have other exercises like a labyrinth or a ritual, or just as you all saw with just asking people to do the lifeboat analogy, is that it brings up some different information. So anything, you know, the right brain is like the big expansive kind of heart connection. The left brain is I always call like the, you know, I'm doing a lot with accessing the heart information and wisdom. And it's like we've made our minds the CEO. And the CEO, the brain or the mind, as we call it, or the mental part of ourselves, or the ego, is completely concerned about survival, and it only cares about the past, and it only cares about the future. Like, that happened, oh, I don't like that, oh, that was bad. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, what about that? What about this? It just has this worry, angst. But the heart, the signature of the heart, is that it's connected. It's never disconnected. It is guidance. It's whole. It's compassionate. It's loving. It's present. And so my focus in the next, you know, probably, I don't know, few years here is really doing more of the accessing that part of ourselves, because there's so much more energy, there's so much more health, and there's so much more guidance, and a lot less stress. So that's whenever you can get people engaged either in questions or activities that just kind of bring out a different part, like the right branch or the left. That's why Qigong, yoga, dance, movement, the questions I sent, and I'm going to send another email too from this retreat coach who has just some really good questions and activities. It's a free thing that I got for about a year, and I just compiled some of them, and I'll be sending that to you tonight. Some just, again, good questions that help bring out that person's awareness. So thank you, Lynn. It's so good to hear your voice and hear all of you. And we're going to close now in just a couple minutes, but is there any other question or comment?
Rebecca, this is Yvonne. I do have a question.
Yes.
As far as, I guess, finding a quote-unquote niche or a target audience, and earlier when you were referring to basically we sell transformation.
Yes.
My challenge has been that, you know, everyone keeps saying find a specific niche. But
yes.
I guess my question is, because I work routinely with a variety of people, such as I might work with late 20s, early 30s who are trying to develop careers and that type of thing. Then I might work with professionals that are stressed. Instead of just having one particular niche, you mentioned seeing what it is the person is passionate about or what it is they're trying to achieve. Can you tailor, let's say I'm going to have a retreat in August, your retreat to the people who are trying to work on stress, and then for your retreat in October, you're looking at more personal self-growth and development. You see what I'm trying to ask?
Yep.
Instead of just having one, maybe all I'm going to do is stress, can I take the approach that I have several target audiences,
yes,
and with this retreat I get that target audience, with
yes,
the next retreat I do the other
excellent
topic or however you can
excellent
you take that approach?
Absolutely. That's what I did, because I did have maybe four or five. And so, but I would speak the language of what I think that group would want to be making a transformation in. And people, again, sometimes, you know, they need a career. And then sometimes once they're in the process, they realize, oh, I really need some communication skills. That's what's keeping me from having a good career, is I don't know how to get along with people, or, you know, I either, you know, hide or I get angry or something. So it helps. It kind of goes through the layers of what's more essential. But they can start off with stress, like, you know, do you feel like you're, you know, scattered in 100 directions and you're overwhelmed with paying bills and you don't have any time for yourself and, you know, you have 100 priorities or something, you know, something that you think they would be dealing with. Would you like to feel more centered, have your priorities aligned, have your life aligned with your values and priorities, feel like you're, you know, meeting what's really important to you, something like that. So asking questions about the thing they're struggling with so they get that feeling, and then also what might be some of the solutions or might they feel after those things are resolved. Do you follow that?
Yeah. Well, my question, my next part of that question is, when you're trying to, such as the brochures, and you're trying to let people know what it is you do, or that quote-unquote, that elevator spiel,
yeah.
How do you tell them what you do then if you have those different target audiences or different subject matters? That's been my hindrance in getting started. And trying to just put together and trying to sell myself.
Uh-huh.
It's hard for me to articulate and to articulate what it is I'm offering, because I do have several different target audiences and not one particular specialty niche.
Well, is that when you're speaking, do you speak to individuals or are you speaking to groups when you're marketing?
Sometimes it's to individuals. And
well,
then,
that way,
you know,
yeah,
go ahead.
That way you could ask the question, like, just as I asked earlier. So they say, what do you do? And I do this kind of coaching process. It's life coaching and health wellness coaching. But more than, you know, before I explain that to you, you know, just like I said earlier, I just want to ask you a question, like, if you could change something in your life, or is there something bugging you in your life that you'd really love to change, you just really would love it to be different, or something that is just really challenging for you that you'd really like to resolve or heal or change. And that way you find immediately from them what they're interested in. And then
okay.
you can say, well, I work with that, and I have a stress management group. Or I work with that, I work with stressed, harried business people who just feel like they throw out of balance and they're just, you know, getting sick a lot or whatever, you know, whatever that person's saying to you, you're just reflecting back that you offer
okay.
that. Or is it,
okay.
it's like, oh, I really need a job. Well, that's exactly the groups of people I work with. I work with people who are trying to find work in this challenging community where they're getting feedback and support from other people, myself, and we talk about resources and action steps so that you feel supported and not alone in the process so you can really get that job. So
okay.
you always find out from the person instead of talking about what you do, because otherwise it just goes into deaf ears. Nobody's interest. People are just interested in themselves. They're not really interested in you. They're interested
okay.
in what, you know, what can be different in their life, and how you can help them with that. So you always ask, you know, that question, or and then they go, oh well, what you mean, like, well, how do you do that? And I go, well, it's just a really gentle and easy process, really been effective. It's, you know, we just get together and we just, you know, it's a step-by-step process. Make it really few words, like, you know, keep them engaged and, like, reflecting back. So we make a step-by-step program so that you can get that job, so that you know where to look and ideas and strategies that maybe you haven't thought of. Or, you know, when we work on what's stressing you, so we can find ways for you to de-stress and decompress and get your health back, get your vitality back, or get your passion back, or, you know, something like that. So you keep going back to what they're saying instead of explaining
okay.
the process.
Okay, excellent. Thanks so much for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And just one more minute. I know Lola had a question. I'll just kind of be brief on it because it's going an hour and a half. So Lola, preparing people for a retreat is maybe sending them some things like a pity meeting, you know, a visual, having them maybe fill out their circle at home just to start the process, or maybe a few coaching questions, like, you know, if you could change anything in your life, what would it be? So they're starting to get into that self-inquiry mode, so and helping them to say, you know, when you're coming to our retreat, see if you can, you know, rather than just driving here and, you know, rushing, see if you can just make sure you had a good meal. There will be water and snacks and tea, but if you have something special you want to bring, you know, bring in your blanket, bring in your pillow, or bring in your journal, and just keep telling them what we're going to do. We're going to have this space for you to just drop into your inner self or let go of some stuff. We'll do, you know, I do fire ceremonies where people burn things that are bothering them, and or if that's not the kind of group you're doing, just helping them to be, you know, paint them a picture. Imagine we're going to be here in a safe place where you can just let down your armor. We're going to be in a safe environment. I'm going to facilitate it so there won't be, you know, everybody will be facilitated by me, so it'll be in a safe environment with nobody, you know, yelling or blaming or giving advice or anything. It's going to be in a really comfortable atmosphere where you can really start tuning into your well-being, what you really want, what you really need right now. And it's such an opportunity just to step out of your busy life and your old identity, whether you're a mom or a parent or a worker or business owner, and just step out of that for a while and just kind of create some space. And so just be, you know, thinking about what you like to do in that space. And here are a couple coaching questions to get you started. So I don't know if Lola's still there, but I answered that question. So thank you all for your great feedback, your great questions, and let us know if any of you create flyers or have the retreat experience. Every time that you share, it always helps all of us. So any ideas, I know you all have just some incredible ideas and experiences to share. And that really is so beneficial. So all blessings. I hope you all have great, lucrative, fun coaching retreats. They're all, you know, so fortunate to have you, especially in these times. So all blessings to you. And I look forward to talking to you. We'll have our next call in August.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.